Romans chapter 3. Sermons by Paul C. Jong. Sermon 4. We have received the blessing of obtaining salvation by believing with the heart. Romans chapter 3 verses 23 through 31. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by His blood, through faith, to demonstrate His righteousness, because in His forbearance God had passed over the sins that were previously committed, to demonstrate at the present time His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? No, but by the law of faith. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law. Or is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also the God of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also, since there is one God who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through faith. Do we then make void the law through faith? Certainly not. On the contrary, we establish the law. Through the text of Romans chapter 3, let us examine the righteousness of God. From verse 23, the Apostle Paul is speaking about the righteousness of God, that is, the righteous act God Himself performed to save us. The redemption in Christ Jesus. Romans chapter 3 verses 23 and 24 are recorded like this. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. The Apostle Paul proclaimed that although all people sinned and fell short of the glory of God, they became those who obtained being justified freely by God's grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Here, the righteousness of God points to that work of Jesus becoming our Savior by receiving baptism from John the Baptist, having the sin of the world passed on to Him at once, being nailed to the cross and dying, and coming back to life in 3 days. By believing this righteous work that Jesus Christ accomplished, we became people without sin. A person who truly understands this righteousness of God that the Apostle Paul speaks of can be called one who has mastered the entire Bible. Many people say this and that about Romans, but in many cases, there are many times when that explanation stays at a doctrinal and theoretical interpretation. If one is a person who truly understands God's Word, they must certainly become a person who knows and believes the gospel of the water and the Spirit. The meaning of redemption bought by paying the price. Redemption means buying by paying the price of sin. In the old times, people were bought and sold in the slave market. If someone paid the price and took a person who belonged to a slave merchant, from then on, they came to belong to the new master who paid that price. That is exactly redemption and also salvation. Because slave trading was common in the Roman era as well, the Apostle Paul explained the ministry of Christ using this word. In the text, it is recorded, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Romans chapter 3, verse 24. Usually, when calling Jesus' ministry together, it is called Christ, but in the text, it said Christ Jesus. The reason is that the word Christ is a title pointing to an office. Jesus received baptism from John to personally have our sins passed on to Him, and He paid our price of sin by offering His own body as a sacrificial offering on the cross. We originally sinned against God and had no choice but to go to hell. However, by believing that work of Christ Jesus having our sins passed onto His own body by receiving baptism from John, and personally paying our price of sin by being nailed to the cross. We received the blessing of becoming people without sin. The plan of salvation prepared from before the foundation of the world. When God made this universe, He created all things in heaven and earth and humans up to the sixth day. And He made the Garden of Eden and placed the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil inside it. This shows that God made a plan in advance regarding the sin of mankind and had set it to make us, who became sinners, into God's children through the gospel of salvation through Jesus Christ. When God made us humans, He already had the plan of salvation to be accomplished in Jesus Christ. That plan was all accomplished through the baptism the Lord received from John and the gospel word of the cross. Therefore, we who believe that gospel word became God's sheep and became those who give glory to God forever. The trees of the dense forest on the mountain uniformly submit to the one who made them, blooming flowers and bearing fruit according to the season. But only humans rebel against their Creator, giving this and that reason. Because God knew that the devil deceives us and makes us rebel, He promised that He would personally become our Savior and came to this earth. Thus, He personally took charge of our sins by baptism and redeemed us by shedding blood, dying, and coming back to life. Christ Jesus, who came as King, High Priest, and Prophet. The word Christ means to receive anointing. In the Old Testament era, these three kinds of people, King, Priest, and Prophet, received anointing. Saying Christ Jesus means that Jesus came to perform exactly these three offices. First, Jesus is King. The one who is God Himself and the ruler of all things came to this earth wearing human flesh. Second, Jesus is High Priest. He came to perform the duty of the High Priest to eliminate the sins of all people on this earth. In the Old Testament era, the High Priest passed the sins of the people onto the sacrificial offering by laying on of hands. But now Jesus, who is the High Priest, personally took charge of the sin of mankind on His own body by receiving baptism from John and received all the judgment for that sin by offering His own body as a sacrificial offering before God the Father and shedding blood and dying on the cross. John the Baptist crying out, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world," was pointing exactly to this work. Third, Jesus is Prophet. The one who makes known all this ministry of salvation is Jesus. After Jesus ascended to heaven, the Holy Spirit came and made all this be recorded as the Word and be preached, and made Him fully bear even the role of the Prophet who teaches the believers. Like this, Jesus fully bore all these three offices of King, High Priest, and Prophet, and redeemed us. Those who obtained being justified freely. The text says, "Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." What does it mean that we became those who obtained being justified freely? Did we shed blood for our sins? Were we able to eliminate sins by receiving suffering? Could we eliminate sins by ourselves even a little bit? Freely, that is, not by our merit or deeds, but by accepting the salvation God accomplished through faith, we obtained being justified. Because God loved me and you, He personally received baptism and died hanging on the cross. And by believing that work of paying that price of sin, we became those who are saved. If so, what is the work we must do? There is nothing but believing. We cannot change God's plan of salvation, and if we try to do so, we will only become rebels against God instead. All things submit and obey God. However, only those who are deceived by the devil, Those who take the devil's side do not obey God. To whom will we obey? Even now, we have the free will of to whom we submit between these two, God and the devil. If we obey the devil, we go to hell, and if we obey God and believe the work God has done, we receive the elimination of sin and go to heaven. That depends on me and you. If one wants to obey God, during the time of listening to the Word, while hearing the Word, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption, one becomes thankful for the fact that if they believe this, they become without sin and receive the blotting out of sin. Conversely, if one does not want to obey God, the devil enters into the heart and begins to whisper. Depending on to whom one wants to submit by their own will, that master comes to visit. John chapter 1, verse 12 says, "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name." We must have a heart that accepts and obeys the word God has spoken like this. Only then does the Holy Spirit come upon us. Rejecting God's word while piecing things together with plausible words is a truly foolish thing. The righteousness of God who set forth Jesus as a propitiation. Next, let us examine verses 25 and 26 of the text. Whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood, through faith, to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance God had passed over the sins that were previously committed, to demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, that he might be just, and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Jesus came to this earth only once since this universe came into being. Therefore, history is divided into before Jesus came and after he came, that is, before Christ and Anno Domini. Jesus is exactly the center of history. Because Jesus is God, people made the year he came to this earth wearing human flesh as the standard and came to call it one Anno Domini. Jesus came to this earth and became the propitiation for us. By receiving baptism from John the Baptist, he took charge of the sin of mankind on his own body, and by hanging on the cross and offering his own body as a sacrificial offering before God the Father, he completely eliminated the sins of all humans with his own body. And by coming back to life from death, he became the true Savior. He took charge of all the sins committed by mankind at once by baptism. And he paid all that price of sin by presenting his own body before God the Father and shedding blood on the cross for all the judgment mankind should receive. Like that, he personally became the propitiation. By sending his Son and making him take charge of all sins by baptism, and by making him offer the sacrificial offering before God the Father by dying on the cross, he personally saved us. God's eternal time of passing over the sins previously committed. In the text, it is recorded, "passed over the sins that were previously committed." To pass over means to just view it as no big deal, to pretend not to see even though seeing it. But if there is sin, God must rightfully bring down judgment. So how can he overlook that sin? That is because Jesus came to this earth, received baptism, and died on the cross, personally becoming the propitiation for the judgment of sin that we humans should receive. Because God sees that sin as the sin for which Jesus has already paid the price, even though we are still weak and commit sin now, he no longer makes an issue of that sin. If one does not know this word spiritually, they can misunderstand. Saying sins that were previously committed does not simply mean only the sins committed in the past. Because God is the one who lives eternally, all the history of us humans also belongs to the past from the perspective God sees. God has already eliminated all sins at once. Our receiving salvation from sin is accomplished by believing with the heart that righteous work of the Son of God coming to this earth, personally becoming the propitiation and eliminating all the sins of me and you at once. Because God came 2,000 years ago, took charge of our sins at once by baptism, and received the judgment for sin, even if we believe now, its efficacy is the same. Because God is in eternal time, even if it is the future when we look at it, if we look at it within God's eternal time, all these things are already things that have passed. So even in this age now, God performed the righteous work through the gospel of the water and the Spirit, and personally accomplished the work of saving me and you from sin. God is a righteous one, and the one who did the right thing out of love for us. And he said, "The justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus." Those who believe that work of Jesus, the Son of God, saving me and you, have done the right thing in itself and have obtained being declared without sin. Believing God's love is the most righteous thing. God loved me and you, personally became the propitiation, and paid the price of sin. How righteous of a work is that? Also, how right of a deed is our act of believing that love? God loved us like this, but if we do not believe that love and just pass it by, how could it be a proper thing? We must rightfully believe this love. The faith that does not believe the gospel of the water and the Spirit, but believes only the blood of the cross, cannot completely solve the problem of sin. If the problem of sin is not solved, one comes to live according to the nature of a sinner. However, the righteous feels the worth of life only when doing God's work and serving the gospel. If one does not live for God, the meaning of life disappears. Even though God loved us so much, if we do not believe and become adversaries and servants of the devil, how regrettable of a thing would it be? A person who does not believe cannot receive God's love. If he loved but that love is rejected, eventually that love turns into wrath. That is why hell exists. It is not that we go to hell because our deeds are lacking. We go to hell because we do not believe. Song of Solomon chapter 8 verse 6 says, "Love is as strong as death, jealousy as cruel as the grave." Even though God bestowed the great blessing of sending his Son, eliminating all our sins, personally making us his children, and making us those who partake in the divine nature, for those who do not accept that love and reject it to the end, the rejected love piles up as wrath, and eternal hell is prepared. I believe this is the extremely proper justice of God. If God acted indecisively, no one would be able to believe him. However, God is one who, when he brings down a curse, brings it down eternally, and when he bestows a blessing, bestows it eternally. Therefore, this time when me and you live on this earth, opening our eyes and breathing, is the time God is personally giving us the opportunity to believe. Right now, while you are breathing, I hope you believe. Concluding the Word. The righteousness of God we have examined so far can be summarized into two things. First is that God personally performed the righteous work of saving us with the water and the blood. Second is that as we also accept by faith that work of God the Father saving us with the water and the blood, by making his Son a sacrificial offering, we also came to receive acknowledgement as righteous ones. John chapter 3 verse 16 says like this, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." God loved us like this and saved us, so we also, by faith, must not make that sacrifice and toil be in vain. The way to make that righteous work God performed for us by coming to this earth worthwhile is exactly to believe with the heart that work of God eliminating the sins out of love for me and you. That believing is the way not to make God's work be in vain. The believer is the one who receives God's love, and that believing itself is exactly the right thing. You must know the fact that in the midst of not believing and rejecting, without even knowing it yourself, you are playing the role of a servant of the devil. The one who does not believe the true love of God eventually ends up becoming one who belongs to the devil. However, this is by no means someone else's story. It is exactly your story and also my story. Therefore, prior to arguing whether other people go to hell or not, the matter of you yourself first believing God and escaping from hell is the most important. There must not be a case of trying to save others in a state where one's own self has not received salvation and then falling into the place of destruction together. God took pity on me and saved me, and He did not save only me but saved all of you. Therefore, we just have to only believe. I absolutely cannot help but believe the fact that God saved me. Because I have no choice but to believe. I believe. Who could love us like this? Who could love you like God? Where else is there a one who loved us like this, personally paid the price and saved us, and also prepared even heaven toward the future? In this world, mother and father also love us and care for us with their hearts. However, human love can never eliminate our sins. Only God can eliminate our sins, and He personally eliminated our sins. Therefore, the only work left for us is only believing with the heart. I hope you believe well. I desire that He gives that blessing of believing with the heart to all of you. I will conclude the word.